Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. We spend a lot of time talking about how important it is to take care of your mental health. Therapy is an excellent way to do that. BetterHelp is an affordable mental health care option that fits right into your busy schedule. Just answer a few quick questions about your needs and preferences, and BetterHelp will match you with one of the thousands of experienced mental health professionals in their network. You can talk to your therapist over text, chat, phone, or video. You get to pick what works best for you, your comfort, and your schedule. If you feel like your therapist isn't the right fit, BetterHelp makes it easy to switch to someone new at no additional cost. So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. BetterHelp is offering our listeners 10% off their first month of therapy. Just go to betterhelp.com/musicspeaks to get started. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/musicspeaks to get 10% off your first month of therapy.
Like so many of you, we battle depression during life's many ups and downs.
Music has always been there to help us through the tough times that we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music.
Interview artists and bands.
Break down genres and music news.
Review artist biographies.
And much, much more.
You're listening to the When Words Fail Music Speaks Podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to When Words Fail Music Speaks Podcast, where we fight depression with the power of music. I am your handicapped host, James Cox, and I have another interview today. It's a great guy, great dude, so we're going to talk to him in a minute. But he is known as Mark Electronica. His name is Mark Dixon. I'm not sure if I was allowed to say your first
name. Yeah, Mark Dickinson's my real name, but okay, I got Mark Electronica for my music because that's what I basically do.
Right. Yeah, right, exactly. Well, first, welcome to the show, first of all. And
thank you.
And your name is Mark Electronica, but you spell Mark with a Q, M-A-R-Q Electronica.
Yeah.
Right. So that your name is Mark and you play Electronica, so I guess you just smash them together and say, hey, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly how I started. I was doing Electronica, and then I moved into more house music and dance music.
Right.
I still have an electronic edge in a lot of my music, though.
Yeah. Well, when I was researching you, you played in a lot of bands, you know, and I don't think it was till the pandemic where you just said, I want to start on my own. Is that kind of the sort of...
Definitely. Yeah, that's it. Definitely. I just found I was stuck creatively. There were things I wanted to say and things I wanted to do, but there wasn't much to do because we couldn't leave the house.
Yeah, at all, you know. And there was many musicians that, well, I would imagine that musicians would love it because most of them, not all of them, have their own studio there and everything, so they can make music whenever they wanted to.
I guess luckily I was in that position.
Okay, so you have a home studio. Right,
a little modest home studio. I still go to a recording studio to get things mixed and mastered professionally. Otherwise, it might not sound as polished as I'd like.
Right. Yeah. So, but you are from Teesside. Is that in England?
Yes. Yeah. Originally Teesside. I live in Tyne-on-Wear, Newcastle now.
Yeah. When I looked that up, so that's the northeast of England.
Yes. Okay. Beautiful part of the country.
Yeah. So, I might have had an artist from England, but I can't remember. So, excuse me, past guests. But England has a lot of great, great music there. Okay.
Definitely.
So what? Definitely. Yes, sir. So what genre is most appreciated in England?
I would say a lot of the time, especially in the Northeast, it tends to be rock and metal music that I hear a lot of.
Okay.
But I think we're quite open to a lot of genres and we're quite creative. There's a real grime scene here that's really good and a lot of rap that's growing up in the Northeast that's quite fantastic. And I've worked with a couple of the local rappers and it's a really good scene. I just wish there was a bit more of the house and the dance music in my local area. Yeah.
Yeah, because I've been watching YouTube and TV and everything, but I hear a lot of American artists from America come over to England, and they're treated nothing but with respect, and I love that for them, you know.
Yes.
And I love that for the UK folks over there, which is really, really nice, because I want to be able to come to a country, you know, and be appreciated just as much as I appreciate you and them.
Well, yes, yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah. So I guess that's very, very cool for y'all to, you know, appreciate us just as much as we appreciate you, you know.
Yeah, in the local area, we have a few venues that do multi-genre nights. So right. I was on stage one night doing all this epic house music and dance music in between a heavy metal band that were like roaring and screaming. And before that, there'd been a young girl who you could hardly hear playing the guitar. And then they had another metal band. And so it was full of metalheads. They were all really moshing like that. And I ended up going on stage thinking, they're going to eat me alive. Right. But they were dancing and enjoying it. I did three encores and was like, flipping heck, this is crazy. I don't believe this. It was great. So, yeah, it's open to all sorts of music in the Northeast.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad publicity around metalheads and the genre metal, but I always say it's angry music for happy people, you know. So that's
yes,
yeah. So I don't know why metal gets a bad rap. I guess it revolves around Satan, but that's not, you know, that's not what we do, you know, in metal. So
I think the music at concerts from metal, it just flows through you and it creates an amazing feeling. The same with dance music, but I do feel that there is a, I think because some of the subject matter that's covered in a lot of metal music, it can be quite dark, so people associate it with that. Well, I've got a lot of friends who work in metal and work in rock.
Yeah, there's a lot of conspiracies for metal too, so let's talk about the type of music you make, though. So since you're on, you know, figure it's only safe to say, you know, but electronica, right? So
yeah,
so how does electronica, how is that different from EDM? Because I know they're kind of the same, but a lot of times they're not. So can you? Because
I don't know. I mean, EDM, it was born out of electronica, really.
Okay.
Electronica is the basis for a lot of dance music. The same as R&B is sort of influenced it as well. I would say electronica has a more industrial and sometimes quite a hard and synthetic feel to it, because it is all synthetic sounds. And a lot of samples that can be used as well in it. I mean, I've gone to electronic music open mic nights where they have other artists that do some completely bizarre sounding things. It's more of a soundscape than a song, and it creates a feeling like impressionist music, not, you know, it's just fantastic. And that's what I started off doing. But I found I was leaning more in towards the melodic kind of thing, like house music and dance music, because it's something I love and I like the reaction I got from the audiences when I performed it too. I had people dancing and enjoying themselves, and I thought, that's what I want to promote,
yeah.
Enjoyment and harmony, even though some of my subject matter can be a little political or a little heavy sometimes. I like the juxtaposition between heavy subject matter and the upbeat sound of the music.
Yeah. Well, I guarantee you, we won't talk anything about politics here. we're not a political podcast here, brother. So it's all right.
I know you said that, yeah.
Right, yeah, we talked about it before went on, and I don't do politics in either. And I think that musicians have a place in politics, but not so much that they are like very, very much outspoken, you know. The whole atmosphere of music, you know.
I think we have a responsibility as artists to try and highlight things that we're worried about and concerned about, which is more what I tend to do. So I've done songs that are related to relationships and abuse. I've done songs that are related to our cost of living crisis and how difficult it can be to manage sometimes. But that's mainly it. a lot of my songs tend to be about love and about the feeling you get from dancing as well. So it's quite diverse, you know.
Well, your album, Savage Times, came out in 2022, correct?
Yes, yeah.
And your, I guess it's new, it's your recent single, Next to Nothing, is about Savage Times, really. I mean, you know, because I think I read in your little bio that the song is about having, like, people are buying stuff and they're wealthy, but they're still buying under their means, right?
It's more about being people working hard, not being able to pay for the basics.
Right. Right, yeah.
Personally, I was at a point where do I buy toilet roll or do I buy food? Where am I at? I got to points like that at one point. Yeah. And I thought, this is quite frustrating considering I'm holding down two jobs and it can be quite tough. And then I realized, well, a lot of people are going through that. And I was quite dissatisfied with the way the country was going. So I wrote a lot of songs about people being overworked, a lot of songs about people being in love, but a lot of songs are about people not being able to trust the people who are leading them and worrying and feeling disillusioned. But then most of the tracks, when you listen to the music, are quite upbeat.
Yeah.
The lyrics that make you go, oh, hang on a bit. What's going on here? You know?
It's a confusing, but I love it, you know? Yeah.
But yeah, that's what that one's about. It's all about the difficulties I had financially a few years ago.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think everybody suffered that time, that savage time when, I mean, the COVID hit, you know? And
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I used to supplement my day job with singing jobs and I couldn't do that. And it was really difficult throughout COVID. And it was also like therapy going out doing the singing and performing in the pubs and clubs for people.
Right.
And then I'd come home and I'd relax at the end of the night. And all my troubles from the week would have vanished. But I didn't have that when COVID hit, and I didn't have the income. So it was difficult.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I know most artists or comedians did online shows, you know, because I've attended a few virtual reality comedy shows and concerts, you know. Did that ever come to your mind as a musician to hold virtual shows for you? And
I was going to start doing it and had the idea to do it as a regular thing, but during COVID, I'm also a carer for my parents, so I had to drive through. I was allowed as a registered carer to drive through to their house and care for them during COVID. Because mum has dementia and my dad had COPD before he died, God rest his soul. Yeah. And so I spent a lot of time caring for them, along with other members of my family who would pop in, like my brother. So there was my brother and I who would go in at separate times and look after them. And that took away a lot of my time from performing as much as I'd like to, because my parents were my main priority. So I focused on getting my songs right and getting the music to the level where I wanted it to be before I could go out and promote it. I did a few live shows and I'm starting to do a few more. I'm going to try and do like half an hour to an hour every Sunday on TikTok now to try and sort of do it. I did one the other week and that was quite well received. I was quite pleased. Yeah. So I'm going to keep doing that. A mixture of covers and originals.
Yeah. Because I keep hearing a lot of times people come in mainly for covers and you need to throw in one or two originals just to make them, oh wait, this guy can really do this, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, I think by doing covers it gives something familiar to the audience, so they've got a handhold into the original stuff as well. And it's also tracks I enjoy. So I could be doing something like a track by Gorgon City called Ready for Your Love, which was a massive deep house track. And then I could be doing something from the 80s and then some of my own music, and they love it, which is great. It's good fun.
Speaking of the 80s, what's your favorite era of music, you know?
Well, for me, I would say late 90s, because you had dawn of acid house music, acid jazz music, which brought in a lot of 70s funk and a lot of 70s jazz, but mixed it up a little bit with a bit of a modern feel. So you had bands like Jamiroquai and the Brand New Heavies come out, and I was really into that vibe. I thought I loved the positivity of it as well. But then you also had the dawn of house music in the late 80s, and it was really growing up. And then you had the R&B as well, which I loved. So artists like Mary J. Blige and Jeanne, and when Police came out towards the end of that era, towards the 2000s, I was like, wow. And groups like NERD, I love all of that. So, yeah, that's my era, the late 90s, mid to late 90s.
Okay, so when I went in, this is the last question about COVID I have for you. I'm so sorry if I ask you enough for COVID stuff. But when you sat down to write your first original track during COVID, what emotions or image did you want to tell the world that you were living in at that time of COVID?
At that time, I'd had a friend who was going through a lot in a pretty difficult relationship, and they just got out of it and started to live the life when COVID hit. And so we'd ring and we'd talk all the time. And I just felt so frustrated for her, but pleased that she got out of that situation. Yeah. So we wrote a song called I'm Waking Up to You, which started off with loads of orchestral sounds, because I managed to find a sample pack that was of a band that I've always loved called the Freemasons. They do the mixed disco with house music and funk and electronica to a point where it's always this elevated sound and quite epic. So I thought, great, I want to do something with that. And that led me into writing the rest of the album.
Yeah.
And she loved the track, and she said, don't mention my name on it though, because I don't want my husband to find out about it. I went, all right. Well,
okay.
But, you know, so I didn't do that. And she shall still remain nameless to this day. Mm. But yeah, she was the inspiration for that track.
Yeah. And I see that you're a Eurythmics fan.
I love Eurythmics.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hear Rain Again. What's your favorite Eurythmics track?
I mean, it's got to be Sweet Dreams, you know, the one that everybody in a mother's covered, you know?
Yes.
That's top tier to me. Yeah. What about you?
I would say that one, or Here Comes the Rain Again. Oh, yeah. My goodness. Yeah. Love that. And the Freemasons did a remix of that. So,
okay. Yeah.
Next level. And that, I feel, elevated the track in an area that I didn't think it could do, but it was fantastic. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, Annie Lennox had a fantastic solo career, but I wish to God they would come back as the Eurythmics and just kick ass all the way, you know, across town, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they did some amazing tracks. She had quite a soulful voice, didn't she, as well, and an amazing range and lyrical quality to her voice. It was beautiful.
Right.
And Dave Stewart's from Tyne and Wear, so yeah, where I live now. So yeah. You know, the other guy's band, so yes.
Maybe they'll come back when they when we can both see them. Who knows, Lorraine?
You never know. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think your daughter does music now.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Okay. So earlier you said you had a makeshift studio at your house.
Yes.
So for people who want to do like a makeshift to get started on any kind of music, what would you recommend? And what is your studio ritual? I mean, like, do you have coffee first? Do you warm up with your instruments first? I mean, what does it look like to...
Right. For me, my ritual is I get a copy of Redbush. I get a huge cup like this, full of Redbush.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
massive, full of Redbush tea and a big bottle of water. I'll have a bar of chocolate, and then I'll just sit there with the door closed, and I'll just start looking through all the sample pads I've got, all the samples I've got, looking at the drum beats, looking at different soundscapes, and then thinking about what that evokes in me, what that feeling is creates, and then I'll edit them and change them and create my music. You asked about the different packs I use. I tend to go onto websites where you can download sample packs, which can even have construction kits, which you can set up a basic layer of a song on. But I tend to steer away from that. I tried to create my own stuff using different samples from different packs. Right. And then otherwise you're going to just sound exactly like something that someone else has written. Right. And then I use a thing called Magix, which my partner bought me years ago, and I only really got into during COVID. And I learned a bit before COVID from my bandmates in a band I was in called Sapient Trace. And he used to bring his laptop and do a lot of stuff on Logic Pro, which is the one a lot of people use for home studios and for even recording studios. And I learned a lot from him and about sampling and about editing and moving things around and arranging your own songs. So then I thought in lockdown, I'll have a go myself. And now it's what I tend to do more than anything. Else. Do you fancy coming out for a drink? No, I'm just finishing this song. I'm so antisocial.
And I don't have time for that. So I'll get there, but hold on just a minute, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's it exactly. Terrible.
I'm too busy, man. I need a break from life. Yeah, right, yeah. Because it seems to me, like, my mind, I got to focus on one or two things, you know. I'm not here or there, you know. But I do drink a lot of coffee, which helps me a lot, you know. But I drink a little bit too much coffee, so I'm reeling back on coffee and drinking a lot of water, you know. I don't know. I get too many.
I was terrible for that. I had a colleague where I worked who had this coffee called Red Hot Java Lava. Mm-hmm. And after three cups, he was singing daft songs and making no sense at all. He was singing I'm a Little Teapot, Short and Stout, and doing all the moves in the office. And my colleague and I looked at him and thought, hang on, you're running a construction site. What are you doing?
Oh, man.
It was completely strange. So he laid off the coffee for a bit. But I don't have caffeine anymore. Otherwise, yeah, I would be a coffee fiend.
So I guess it's just water with lemon in it, or like what's your go-to, you know, to help your voice out, for sure.
I like a northern drink called Vimto. Okay. It's really it's like a fruit cordial, and you put that in with some water. Or I have Red Bush tea, which is naturally full of antioxidants. It's really good for you, but it also is naturally caffeine free. And a lot of people I know go, "Oh, can I try it?" And they go, "Oh, that's disgusting." And I love it.
That's great. That's great to you, right? Yeah. So this is a really important question that I just thought of. So a lot of people aren't interested in one genre as opposed to the other. You know, you get country folks that don't listen to rap or metal, okay, or electronica, right?
Yeah.
So how would you say that people should at least just listen to electronica to get their mind out of the I will not listen to that, you know, kind of vibe?
I think it's finding a vibe and a song and being open to it. Because, I mean, I was very much into, like, dance music and soul music and nothing else. But I went with friends to see a band called Skunk Anansie before they became famous. Yeah. And they blew me away. I was like, wow, this is really good. And I could appreciate the musicality and a lot of the music. Bought some of their albums. The same with Muse. I love them as well. But I think it's about not limiting yourself, because there's some music that you might not have heard. I had some learners when I was teaching that haven't heard any classical music. And when I played some of it, I got them to sit and listen like I had to this track by Claude Debussy. And I said, I want you to just think about what it reminds you of. Just write down words or draw pictures to tell me what it reminds you of. And they're like, oh, and they got exactly what it was about. It was about this creature in the woods seeing these people there that he wasn't supposed to see. And it was, they got exactly the vibe that Claude Debussy was trying to get. And they were like, wow, that blew me away, man. You know, I didn't know.
Yeah.
And I think keeping yourself open to other genres of music is great. I mean, I wasn't a massive country music fan, but some of this just blows me away.
Yeah.
I mean, like, was it Need You Now and some of Shania Twain's music, and then some of the Bonnie Raitt stuff, some of her early music. Oh, I Can't Make You Love Me by her is just achingly beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
I think there's music in every genre that I think resonates with everyone. They've just got to find the right song.
Yeah, I agree. Because back in when I was a teenager years ago, I'm 45 right now. 45, you know, I'm like, oh my God.
Wow, that's amazing. And you look good, like, for 45. You got a filter on? That's crazy.
No filter here, buddy. But when I was like 16, 17, right, all I listened to was Metallica metal music. You know, I wouldn't do nothing else, you know. Before then, my mom and dad raised me on country music. I slowly came back to that genre, and now that's my favorite genre ever.
But that one that you love. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But since my college years, I started listening to everything, you know, and that's what made me start this podcast. Is, you know, I just wanted to find out more from the actual musician and, you know, get them known and find out more music that I can listen to also, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I listened to a lot of drum and bass recently, and I've always liked it, but not really been into it. And then I've been getting into a lot more of that, and it's quite, I just think some of it's fantastic, and it really gets you going and gets you wanting to move and stuff. But then I listened to artists like Goldfrapp, which the first album, Felt Mountain, was just breathtaking. She's been trained as an opera singer, and he had all these different sounds from the 70s and the 60s mixed with electronica, and it was just fantastic. And now she's doing a lot more electronic music, and it's really good.
Right. Yeah. Amazing. Did you do a hip-hop charity album at one time?
No, it wasn't hip-hop. It was, I did an album where I worked with other artists, and it was trip-hop. So trip-hop.
Yes, trip-hop.
It's more like groups like Massive Attack and people like that and Tricky. It's like a laid-back vibe, but it's a bit moody and dark sometimes. But it's also, I mean, do you remember Unfinished Sympathy by Massive Attack with Shara Nelson? That's a massive song.
Yeah.
I think Tina Turner covered it. Yeah, yeah. And it's that genre of music, and I think it lends itself to a sort of melancholy feeling or a sort of a thoughtful vibe. And I found I'm moving in that direction with some of my tracks. So I've actually written some ballads, which I never thought I'd do, which have got that kind of like thing. Yeah. So I think it's really good to not limit yourself, but I think you've got to be careful about, if you've got a brand, are you moving too far away from that so you'll alienate your audience?
Right.
That's a worry.
Yeah, you don't want to go too far, you know, because there's bands like that just start out like I don't know if you heard of Ice Nine Kills, you know, but they're a band that started as punk, and they're strictly like metal now, which they're just totally... Holy did a 180 and just said, I'm, you know, we're, and they're great, you know, they were great then, but they're great. They're just still great now, even though they moved to another genre, you know.
And it's lucky if they've still got the fans, because when you think about it, sometimes it can make people go nut. And there are purists that are a bit stuck in their groove, aren't there? I think sometimes it's good to diversify, though, I think.
Right. Yeah. Because like I tell everybody, you know, fans will know what BS there is, and if you're not true with the fans, they're not going to do nothing for you, you know. So
that's exactly. I think you've got to be genuine with what you're doing, and I believe in my music, but I think a lot of time I hold myself back because I have very low self-esteem issues and issues around my own kind of like mindset sometimes. So it can be quite difficult. But then I see a lot of artists that go out and they really love the music and they're doing really well. Then I see other artists are just going through the motions. And I think, no, your song deserves better than that.
Yeah.
And that annoys me sometimes, but you know, that's just me.
Right. Yeah. Well, that would be me too, you know, but, to go back on that trip hop album, that was a charity for the homelessness, right?
Yeah, Musicians Against Homelessness. Yeah. I'd organized a gig through Musicians Against Homelessness just before COVID. And I got to know some of the bands there. There was one called Axels that were doing quite well in the region. And I invited them. I invited a very sort of punk-orientated group called the Floral Detectives. And then this really strange, almost like witch house kind of creepy-sounding group called Holy Braille, that were just fantastic.
Yeah.
The showmanship was amazing. And then my band was on, Sapien Trace, and we were a bit like a sort of metal meets dubstep kind of band.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing.
So that musicians against homelessness, is that a yearly thing or was that just a one-off charity?
No, it's still around.
Okay.
I was wanting to do another gig for them, actually. I want to try and maybe get in touch with them because I really enjoyed doing that gig, but I didn't raise as much as I wanted to.
Yeah.
And Conrad from one of the bands got in touch with me, and Axel started sort of drifting apart and doing their own thing.
Yeah.
And he found another band called The Last of the Fallen Angels. And so he got me and another singer involved, and we released a song that, wow, I'm really, really proud of.
Yeah.
And then he asked me if I wanted to work on the album. So I wrote a song with him for it. He did the music, I did the lyrics, because that's the way I tend to roll most of the time with other artists.
Right.
I just sort of said, what kind of vibe do you want to create? And we wrote this song called Orpheus. And it didn't get out there as much as some of the other songs on the album did, because you had artists like Rowetta, who sang on the Happy Mondays, who were massive in the 90s. And then you had artists like Brinsley Ford from Aswad, who was big in the 90s. And then you also had Peter Hook on the album, who was in New Order, who were a massive band all over the world.
Right.
And they're quite iconic. It was just quite sobering and quite humbling to be working on an album where those artists were. I just was sorry I didn't meet them.
Yeah.
But yeah, all the tracks on that album were fantastic. And I think to put in all that work and then race and let it all go to someone else was really generous of Conrad and the artists that were involved. I found that a really good experience, that people gave up the time for something they believed in, like supporting the homeless.
Yeah. Going back to you working with New Order, which is great, by the way. Congratulations for that band. Oh, man. That's awesome.
I didn't work with them. Conrad did. They worked on one of the songs on the album. I worked on a different song.
Okay.
Because with it being during COVID, it was all done remotely.
Oh, so you didn't actually get the face-to-face?
No, that would have been amazing.
Yeah. I was going to ask you if you had any behind-the-scenes moments that, you know, still make you laugh or, you know, but you didn't meet them. It's still great that you got to, you know, work with them, you know, to be honest with you.
Interesting that. I have worked with a person who's worked with the Spice Girls and a group that were big over here called S Club 7. He wrote one of their songs, and he produced a few of my early tracks for me during COVID. And I learned a lot from him. And if I could afford it, I'd work with him again because he's just so good and he really knows his stuff, Simon Ellis. And I just thought someone of that caliber wanted to work with me, so maybe I should continue, even if I can't work with him. And so I looked around a bit and I found a local producer called Harbour Master, and I work with him a lot. I go in with all my tracks ready. I've got the mix at the levels I want, and I just sort of say, I'm only here to really get it mastered and get like the levels the way I want and get more professional vocals, because I don't have room for a proper vocal booth here.
Right.
It's only a small bedroom we're using.
Small room. You got to make do with what you have, you know. Okay, so before we let you go, I would like to do some fun questions with you, okay? So here we go. Here's a lot of
great,
fun. All right, so if you could remix any non-dance track, like say like a country classical piece or a pop song, which song would you choose and why?
I think that's a tough one. I don't know. There's so many good songs out there.
I know, right?
I think maybe a Janet Jackson track from the 80s, because I used to love Rhythm Nation 1814.
That's the one of the best albums that she's ever made. You know, I mean, personally, you know.
Yeah, you're right. Classic. You're right.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I could improve on perfection there. I think it would be. I'd probably do a track by my favorite group, the Brand New Heavies, and I'd try and get it a bit more dancey and a bit more funky, and a bit more contemporary, because the music is amazing. And I've been to the concerts 3 times and have audiences dancing. People in wheelchairs moving around all over the place, people who are blind, people who are old, people who are young, people of all backgrounds, standing and just unified in this enjoyment of their insanity on stage. And I wanted to sort of capture that in an upbeat kind of dancing kind of beat. they've done some of that.
Right.
I'd love to do one of their tracks. Like, there was one song they did called Forever. I'd maybe do that as a trip hop song because that was a lovely slow song they did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but maybe.
Mm. Nice. I mean, you really can't pick one, you know, you got to pick two or three, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, it's awesome.
It is difficult.
Yeah, very difficult. Okay. So let's just say, you know, you're stranded in an island. We're going to do one island questions, okay? You're stranded in an island with only one synth, one drum machine, and one song to loop forever. Which song would that be?
The song I would loop forever would be... it's one of two. There's a song by Janet from the 90s called Everything Happens for a Reason, but I'd be miserable all the time listening to that because it's quite sad. Or it would be David Guetta and Khalees' song, 4th of July, because it's such a good song, really funky vibe, and like a doof, 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 doof dance beat.
Yeah.
So no matter how knackered I was on the island, I'd be up there dancing.
Maybe somebody will hear it and save you, you know, who knows?
Start a little nightclub over there.
Yeah. What's over there? Who knows? Let's go see, you know, awesome.
Yeah, that music sounds cool. Let's just go over there and join.
All right, let's go inspect, you know, and maybe we'll bring him back to land or something, you know. So, all right. Is there any kind of festival or like Woodstockish, you know, festival that you would love to do still?
I'd like to break into more like bigger festivals. I mean, I headlined Raise Up Fest round here last year, but I'd love to play a lot more local ones. I would absolutely love to play at Hardwick Festival around here.
Yeah.
But there's an electronic one they do in Newcastle I'm trying to break into.
Ooh.
But I would love to be on one of the stages at Glastonbury. That would just blow me away.
Anything's possible, man. You know, we'll try to get you there. You know,
thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah.
Helps,
right? We hope, right? So, okay. Yeah. So, I'm going to do like a rapid fire thing. Okay, this or
that. Yep.
Coffee or tea? We use a tea. We don't do coffee around you, right? Coffee is not a thing, right? Yeah. So tea,
big tea fiend.
Tea, yeah. I do need to learn how to make good tea because all of our tea here is sweet tea because I'm in the South, you know, South Carolina.
Yes.
Yeah, but I need to know what tea is good to get, you know, because there's so many tea all over the world, you know, who knows?
There's all sorts. It depends what you want. I mean, I go to a place in York called the Hebden Bridge Tea Company, I think they call it, and they do one that tastes like Turkish Delight, then they do one that smells like chocolate and coconut, they do one that's like chocolate orange and all sorts. And then they do all the traditional ones as well. It depends if you like strong and bitter or you like smooth. There's all sorts of flavors.
I don't think I would just do strong and bitter, you know. Me, it's just like smooth, because like, I don't really like alcohol, you know. So it's kind of like harsh for me, you know. So, but I never had beer. So, I mean, that could be, but I don't know. So I don't know what I'm trying to say. All right.
A big alcohol fan myself now.
Right. I just can't stand that backfire taste. It gets me every time, you know. So okay.
Yeah, the hangovers.
Hey, I thank God I never had a hangover before, and I don't want it because I've seen my friends all hangovers. Not good, you know. Not good.
Yes. Yeah. I have a full English breakfast and about three of these cups of tea if I've got a hangover. But I don't drink anymore, really, so I'm too busy.
But good man. Don't start now, okay? All right, so vinyl, CD, or streaming, which one would you prefer?
Streaming is easier to carry, but vinyl all the way.
Vinyl,
it's
yeah.
just
I got a lot of
about vinyl. Have you got a big vinyl collection?
I do. It's getting pretty massive, so I need to lay back and get me some CDs, you know. Streaming's okay, but then again, the artist doesn't get nothing from streaming, it seems like. You know, it's all about CDs and vinyl. So I encourage everybody to buy physical stuff, you know. And I'm sure, you know, and I'm positive you have stuff on your website, too, that people can actually purchase. And
yeah, I mean, people can download my tracks, but when I go out and do gigs, I sell my album, Savage Times, and I sell two of my EPs as well that way.
Yeah.
And I have like t-shirts and like little pin badges and stuff too.
Awesome. Okay. So what is your biggest musical pet peeve? What don't you like in the business? I know it has got to be a lot, but what's
Oh, my
the
biggest pet
one?
peeve.
Yeah.
My biggest one is some of the music snobbery that you get because I work on my tracks at home and then I take everything out on a laptop. You see all these bands setting up and they go, he's not a real musician.
Right.
And I'm thinking, hang on, yes, I am. There's musicality in what you do, but there's musicality in what I do. And I had a heated discussion with someone about this once. And I said, I can respect what you do, so why can't you respect what I do? Just because it's different and I'm not doing that. And it means sometimes that some of the promoters are stuck in a rut of like guitars and acoustic bands all the time. And I've spoken with a couple of venues recently that are sick of the same old thing all the time. And I thought, hallelujah, you wanted to hear something different. And so I did a gig, I was booked in for a gig the other day because it had a lot of acoustic artists. When they heard I was coming in to do house music and dance music, the place was packed. And I was like, oh, thank you.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, there's so many different, well, like music is art, and art is always subjective, I guess, you know.
That's true. Yes,
yeah,
definitely.
So I guess you can't win everybody's, you know, respect. But then
It's
again,
true.
that person you talked to was very, very close-minded, you know. So,
there's a that, but hey.
yeah. When you ever go have fun on a night out, and you go to a karaoke bar, what's your favorite karaoke song that you like to sing?
Oh,
Oh.
I'm on tube with two friends singing it. Don't You Want Me Baby by the Human League? We do
Yes.
that.
Don't you? Oh, man, that's great. Yeah, I love that answer. Hell yeah, dude. Yeah.
I do like this karaoke bit. And two of my mates stand there and they do the thing the girls did with the dance and they just mess
Right.
around. And we're on YouTube somewhere. Luckily,
Oh.
not
Oh,
far.
I thought you. Oh, okay. Oh, I can't find you. Damn it. Hope I
Could be
can find you.
blackmailed with that.
Yeah. Nice.
But yeah, definitely that.
Nice. All right. Oh, we do have two more songs, but I do want to thank you for coming on. This has been an amazing chat for me. And I hope you like this chat too, you know. So.
It's been fabulous. Thank you so much for the opportunity, and it's been great
Sure.
to talk to you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come back anytime you want to. But we do have two more questions before we're there to go. Okay, so let's go back to Mark's house back when he was 14, 15, 16, high school days, okay?
Yeah.
We're looking around your room. Is there any musical posters on your wall? And if so, which ones are we looking at right now?
Yeah, we had Janet Jackson. We had a big Marilyn Monroe picture.
Yeah.
We had Animotion because I like their song Obsession. And there was a Hall & Oates poster as well because I love them.
Like Hall & Oates, yeah.
And a Human League poster.
Yeah, nice. All good stuff, you know? All good stuff, right? So, my last question is going to be the hardest question I've asked for you today. And you might knock it out of the park, you know, because a lot of musicians I ask this question always do. So,
maths, okay. Then will not get it.
All right. Right. We'll see, right? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, what artist, album, or song that you can listen to right now, but you can't tell me or anybody else how it makes you feel deep inside your soul? Or do you even have one that you can't really, you know, tell people how much it means to you, the song or the artist?
I think, yeah, for me, I mentioned it earlier. It's a song called, I think I watched a film with my mum a while ago, and the music's by John Barry, and it's a classical piece almost. And it's from a film called Somewhere in Time. And the whole premise of it and the beauty of the music just really gets me all the time. And within minutes, myself, my partner, or my mum, whenever we hear it, we're crying. And it's all about a man who falls in love with someone from a different time and he goes back in time to fall in love with her. He gets separated. She dies and he dies of a broken heart in the future. And then she's waiting for him up in heaven. I'm filling up now just thinking of it. And it's all about undying love and romance. And I'm a big sucker for all of that. Oh, it's proper kind of thing. But the music is stunning. It's so beautiful. I had it at a wedding.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that's well. So some songs just describe you by a part and just tug on it. You know, so much where you can't even. I mean, really, you can't. You can't explain it to me how it makes you feel, and that's what I wanted. So yeah. So awesome. Thank you so much. So everybody listening, you can go to Mark, M-A-R-Q, electronic.com.
Yep.
And like you said before, you can download his music. And if you go subscribe, you can buy his album. That would be...
my music on Songwhip. Just Google Songwhip Mark Electronica, all one word.
Right.
Or just Linktree Mark Electronica, and that will get you all the links to all my media and everything.
And Savage Times is his album out right now.
The album's been out a while now, and I've had some recent tracks since then, but I wanted to focus on this again a bit more because I don't think it got there yet.
Right. And I see you've been teasing some new releases for October, November. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm quite excited.
So what mood can this new song or album be without spoiling anything at all?
It's very contemporary. It's very...
Okay.
Some of it... Imagine David Guetta for some of the tracks. Imagine some deep house kind of moody vibes for others. Then imagine some moody trip hop and grime for the others. I've tried to sort of mix all the genres I'm listening to a bit. And I've done some soft trap kind of music, which is quite dark but funky.
Yeah, nice.
Well,
nice. Can't wait to hear it, man. You got to send it to me or something, you know? So,
I'll send you some more music home.
Sure. Hell yeah, dude. All right. So we do love you here at Redwood & Bird Chillin'. We beg you to come back anytime you want to. Are you going to be doing any USA tours? Because if so, I can probably meet you sometime soon. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, to be honest, I would love to. So I'm looking into trying to get some work abroad.
Okay. Great.
I've got to renew my passport. I just realized how...
Well, yeah.
So I'm just in the middle of sorting that out now. And then I'm looking at getting some work abroad. So you never know. It will be nice. But yeah. But I'm limited with the travel at the minute because of my care for my mother.
But I'm sure you have a lot of fans here that would love to see you live, you know, and just chat with you one-on-one. And I don't know, you know.
Yeah, well, a lot of my streams, when I look at it, come from Brazil, USA, and Germany.
Yeah, right.
It's diverse, but they're the main places where my music seems to be well accepted.
Yeah. Mm. Nice. Well, like I said before, we honestly love you here, and come back anytime you want to, okay?
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming on. And with that said, everybody, thank you so much for listening, and always remember, when words fail, music speaks. Bye, guys.
Definitely. Bye.